Always more confident. Say, I am being filled with the knowledge of His will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I am walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. To please Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm always increasing the knowledge of God. Say this evening. I am learning to pray. As I draw near the temple of God, I have drawn near to learn, and I will not offer the sacrifices of a fool. That was what Solomon taught us, all right? Say it again. Say, I have drawn near to learn. My heart is open. I have understanding. I understand the will of God. His word is entering into my heart, and is making me exactly like the Lord Jesus Christ. Say this like you believe. He said, my prayers are acceptable to Him because they are stirred up by faith. And that faith has come into my heart by the entrance of His word. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, if you believe that, give me another amen.
Amen.
All right, I want us to do something this evening. Just if you have your Bibles quickly, let's read a few portions. First of all, we'll read from the book. I'm going to read about four of them. We're going to use them to pray. Let us start with the book of Matthew chapter 6. It's our school of prayer. This book of Matthew chapter 6, I want us to all read it together. When I get to that point, we'll all read it from verse 9. But let's just start from verse 7. From verse 5. He said, when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, he says, do not use meaningless repetition, as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. He now said in verse 9, everybody, let's start together praying this way. He says what? Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let us start again. If we stand, they talk louder. Have you noticed it? All right, let me just read again from verse 8. Then, after I say pray in this way, you pick up. It says, so then, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. He now said in verse 9, pray then in this way. Let's start together. Our Father, who art in heaven. Any version you have, just read it. Because, do you understand my point? Any version you have, all right? Just read it, all right? Let's start again. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. 12, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. 13, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That is number one. All right, open your Bibles again to the book of Luke chapter 18. We read this a lot of times. He said in verse 1 that he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. Then he began to tell them a story. Now in verse 9, he now told a parable saying, in verse 9, he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men, he said, went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. He said that the Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, and even like this tax collector. These are the things I do. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And the Lord Jesus said, I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. The Lord is good. One more prayer portion to read. The book of Hebrews chapter 4. Let's quickly go to that one. The book of Hebrews chapter 4. Then we'll begin to declare the word of God and maybe follow a bit of a pattern here. He said from verse 14, I'm going to 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let's read verse 16 together. Everybody, let's go. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. One more time, verse 16. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Okay, let me let you sit down for a minute, but you'll stand up in a few minutes again. I hope you don't mind. Now, I just want to just say something briefly, then we'll rise up again and begin to declare the word of God. Let me just remind us for a few minutes. Number one, in that Luke chapter 18, the Lord Jesus said it to us again. Men ought always, somebody say always. Always to pray, and they must not get tired. I want to emphasize to us again that the reason why the Lord says you must not get tired is because there will be things to discourage you and make you want to stop praying. That's why he emphasized it. You must never get tired. Later on, from Saturday, I'll begin to teach. Okay, next week. I wanted to start this Saturday, but I didn't finish what I was saying last time, so I'll push it next week. Later on, we'll start looking at how to possess the land on our kingdom teaching series on Saturdays, and then we'll use those things to pray. I just want to emphasize something. If we look at where we read from that book of Luke chapter, book of Matthew chapter 6, the Lord Jesus said, one of the things you pray is like this, thy will be done on earth as it is, we understand it already, recorded in heaven. Because he just said it, as it is in heaven. As it is what? As it exists? Yes, that's what I believe he was saying. But the existence of the will of God is in the records of heaven. So the will of God is to be done as God has already recorded it in heaven. And all right, but what I want to emphasize is that he said we have to pray it into existence. If the will of God happened automatically on the earth, we wouldn't need to do that. He wouldn't have given us that as a prayer point. So anything, in fact, there's a tweet I sent out today that you see, your desire does not stir up faith. Did you hear what I said? Your desire does not stir up faith. Sometimes we Christians behave as if it's what we desire that stir up faith in our hearts. You see a car, you like it, suddenly you want to start believing God. It's already too late. Are you getting my point? Desire does not stir up faith. What stirs up faith is what? The word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. Faith comes by the word of God. When you hear and hear the word of God, that is, you hear it in such a manner as to build your life around it. So when you have believed God totally, when you have understood the word of God, then that allows you to see what you consider a need or something that you desire, and you easily, all right, are able to believe God for it. It is not that you see something, you say, I like this thing, let me now go home and go and stir up faith. Your desire does not stir up faith. It is reacting with the word of God, interacting with God's word that stirs up faith. I'm not making an issue here. So when the Lord Jesus said, pray like this, thy will be done. What the word of God says, what has been recorded, what you have come to understand, is what you make a prayer point. Because without you declaring those things, they don't come to pass on the earth. So anything you discover that God has promised that he will do for his children, that he has promised he will do for his servants, that he has promised or that he proposes to do on the earth, that's what we make our prayer points. We now take those things and say, thy will be done. We're actually more like instructing the will of God, which is a tangible substance in itself, to come to the earth and be executed. It's not as if we are trying to beg God to do his will. You must understand that God is desirous of doing his will. God wants that thing done. That's why he recorded them and then he gave them to you. One of the things that maybe you should quickly read. Let's read it. I've not read the scripture in a very long time. It's interesting. The book of Jeremiah. Let me quickly locate the very verse, all right? It will help us understand how to pray. Let me just advise you again. All these are our teachings on prayer. Just be listening to them all the time. I think the people of God really need to know how to pray properly. If we do, all right, that is, we pray as a habit, like Jesus said, we must always pray. Not only will our lives change, our environment will change. Are you getting my point? Especially since once we continually prepare ourselves to be true prayer warriors. Now, we need to read this book of Jeremiah. I want to emphasize something about when Jesus said, "Thy will be done." You understand? So this is what stirs up faith. It's when we discover the word of God, and that stirs up something that we want to claim because God promised it. And for that thing to come to pass, it must be a matter of prayer. If it wasn't, the Lord Jesus would not have said, we should say, pray like this, "Thy will be done." So I was saying that will, we're actually almost instructing the will of God to be done. The will of God, we are saying to it, be done on the earth. That's what we do in prayer. Now let's just go to that Jeremiah chapter 51 and read something from verse 60. The Bible says, "So Jeremiah wrote in a single scroll all the calamity that will come upon Babylon. That is, all these words which have been written concerning Babylon. Then Jeremiah said to Seraiah," that was his secretary, "as soon as you come to Babylon, then see that you read all these words aloud." Now, please, that's what I want to understand. He said, "As soon as you come to Babylon, see that you read all these words aloud and say, you, O Lord," this is how to pray, "you, O Lord, have promised concerning this place to cut it off so that there will be nothing dwelling in it, whether beast, whether man or beast, but it will be a perpetual desolation. And as soon as you have finished reading this scroll, you will tie a stone to it and throw it into the middle of the Euphrates and say, just so shall Babylon sink down and not rise again because of the calamity which I am going to bring upon her, and they will become exhausted." He said, thus far are the words of Jeremiah. Now, what I want to bring out from there is that you see that God gave his will. This was his judgment upon Babylon. Gave it to Jeremiah, who prophesied it, and they had all those things written down in a scroll, all the calamity that he will bring upon Babylon. And now said, this is what's going to happen. You will take those words. He gave it to Seraiah. Once you get there, read these words upon Babylon, and then say to Babylon, "The will of God be done upon you." Are you getting what I'm saying? I just summarized it now. Say to Babylon, "The will of God be done upon you." So when you get there, you pray like this: "O Lord, thy will be done upon this place." He said, "You have promised according to this." He said, "You have promised concerning this place to cut it off so that there will be nothing dwelling in it." That's what you promise. So that's how to pray. Your will be done. That's what I said, that faith is not stirred up by your desire. All of this had nothing to do with what Jeremiah wanted or what Seraiah wanted to see upon Babylon. But these were the things that God wanted to do in Babylon. And then the Lord now said, pray it into existence. He said, surely the Lord God does nothing until he has revealed his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. So that's what he did here. Revealed to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah told Seraiah, go there and declare the words. Make it a prayer point. Say to the Lord, your will be done upon this place. Declare upon Babylon that the will of God will be done in your life. It wasn't a good thing, but that was the desire of God. You know, the other day, one of our sisters, she sent us a message. She has a prophetic calling. And described some things that God saw in a vision, how she tried to pray against it, and that didn't work. So I said to her, you see, you could not have prayed against those things. These are things that God is planning to do in Nigeria, in the body of Christ. It may not look nice, but your duty, I told her, look, you have to prophesy these things aloud and get Christians to get ready for them. It will not look good, but it's going to happen. And it's going to happen because it is recorded in the scriptures that this is how God judges iniquity. It's recorded in the scriptures that judgment must begin in the house of God. When you have called for repentance, at the point, a time comes in which God says, I will not wait any longer for people to repent. I have to bring a judgment upon the evil that they are doing. I said to her, my dear sister, it's not wickedness. what the Lord is going to do is not a bad thing. It's just that he has to purify the church. And let me just tell you, every Christian better get ready, okay? Because God, all these lies we have told in his name for the last many years, he's not going to wait forever. Because he's going to, you know, he has to correct some things. And because if he doesn't do it, he can't even bless the nation. That's a matter of fact. So, what do we do when we see such things? We'll pray. Well, there are kinds of prayers you can pray to limit the effect of that thing on people. You pray for the elect. You pray for people that the judgment will not go too far, but that God is going to judge evil in his church. He has to do it. If he doesn't do it, a worse calamity will come on later. Are you getting my point? I'm talking about how to pray when we're talking about the will of God. God wants to do something, we declare it. Because in our personal lives, there are things he has said in the scriptures. That is how you pray. You discover them, and that stirs up faith in you. All right? Sometimes when I see people criticizing, especially say, why is this man of God doing this? I say, listen, obviously you're not going anywhere. That's why you're criticizing people. If you are busy doing the assignment that God has given you, you will see promises, all right, that apply to you. When the thing begins to manifest, some people will criticize you. Let me give you an example. If you're a very busy businessman, a very busy preacher, and you go and acquire a private plane, get ready for it. Tell your neighbor, get ready. They go criticize you. Tell the person, they will criticize you. But don't be angry. Don't be angry. All right? Don't be angry. It is that you are going somewhere that they are not going. Just close your ears. Yes, but I'm just warning you ahead. Stop criticizing anybody. Because what happens is that you get to a point in life, from the word of God, you will discover things that are needed for you to fulfill your ministry. And then you begin to believe God for them. And then he manifests them in your life. And then somebody starts criticizing you that, what is he doing? Don't mind him. Only him. How can he have four cars inside the house when there are poor people trekking? Forgetting that even if you are trekking, there will still be poor people trekking. Are you getting my point? Okay, I'm trying to emphasize the fact that what brings up faith in your heart is as you interact with the word of God, and that enables you to believe God for things. Please bear that in mind. So this, I'm just going to make a few points. Another point I want to make is where we read from. Even though we all know these things already, I will not stop declaring them to you. Like Peter said, and Paul also said, I know you know them, but I will continually declare these things because they are the truth of God. In Luke chapter 18 that we read, two people went to pray. First, the Lord said, pray all the time. The reason why we need to pray all the time is because we need to bring these things to the earth by our prayers. You saw that prayer that Sariah was supposed to pray. Please, that is a temple. That is a template for saying, thy will be done. That's a very good way to say it. God, you have said in your word, all right, that you will supply all my needs according to your riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Therefore, this need I'm seeing has to go away. And you say to the need, thus you will go down and not rise again. That's how to pray. You wake up every morning, you see need around your life, declare the word of God upon the need. That's just how Christians pray. You must never get tired. I keep on emphasizing it. There are diseases that doctors will treat and say you need to take this medicine for 20 years. Is that 20 years? For 2 years. And people take the medicine. Some of them, they say for the rest of your life. And people, a man starts taking it when he's 45 or 50, and he dies finally at the age of 80. And he was taking medicine to control hypertension or diabetes for 30 years. All right? And he's even happy that he lived that long. So we must be even more dedicated to using the word of God, because that word actually works and it produces results. Now, so back to this Luke chapter 18. So the Lord Jesus said that. But the other one I want to just emphasize from there is when he said, talked about those two people. That's the one I said we all know. I just want to emphasize it. Let me say it again to you clearly. Two people went to pray. One said, I have done what I am supposed to do so I can get results to my prayer. I don't commit iniquity. How did he say it again? Let me just go there. I am not a swindler. I am not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not like this tax collector. This is what I do. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. I do all the good works. At the beginning of the year, I committed my whole salary I gave to my church and said it's first fruits. Every month, I take 10%. I say it's my tithe. I give prophets offering. I give special seeds. I've made many vows that God, once you bless me, I will say to you. You know, we do all things like that. Yeah, we have vows. Say, Lord, when you give me 10 million naira, I am going to give Pastor Banky 2 million. I'm going to give Kingdom Worth 1 million. Won't you be happy? It's the Lord you are talking to. And then I am going to give 1 million to the poor. Because you know what this boy is looking for? It is a balance. All this I will do, this I will do, this is a balance on top that is his prayer point. That other one is just that it's supposed to be used to persuade me to give it to him. If you are doing like that as a Christian, listen to me, stop that joke. What did I say?
Stop.
Please say it louder.
Stop that joke.
Please stop that joke. If you, the only vow you are allowed to, I just thought about it last time we talked about it. The only vow you are allowed to make to God is that, God, if I ask you for money for food, I promise I will use it to eat. I don't know. Did you hear that? Does it not sound funny? Yes. But that's the only thing. Say, Lord, if you anoint me with power to preach, I promise you I will use it to preach. I will not use it to raise money. If you just put healing power in this my hands, no day will come that I won't go and lay hands on the sick. That's the only, are you seeing the kind of vow? It's not a arranging vow. So, Lord, just give me 10 million. So that brother that looks like he needs something, I will give him. I will give them, I will eat the balance. God said, just ask for the balance. I will give you the balance. All these other ones you are saying, you don't want to do it. You're just asking because you think that is what will persuade me to give it to you. If you really wanted to help those people, there's no problem with that. It falls within the first category of vow I was talking to you about. That is, Lord, I need 10 million. And I say, why? Because these are the things I really want to do. So I promise that if you give it to me, I'll do all of them. Then he says, yeah, he understands that, yeah, you really want to do it. And if he did the things he really wants you to do, yeah, we'll supply the money. But if it's like, God, I need 5 million, but let me ask you for 8 because I need to pay you off with 3. Stop that joke. Are you getting my point? Yes, you must stop that nonsense. Christians do it. It is an absolute insult to the Lord. It's an absolute insult to Jesus Christ. It's an absolute insult to the Father. You are not allowed to go and be making him promises because you think those promises will be the things that will stimulate him to answer you. The only promise you are allowed to make to the Lord, I've said it, is just to promise to follow him all the time. And you make those promises whether you are specifically asking for something or you are not asking for anything. Please, I'm saying all of these things. These are the things that people come to prayer with. And this is the unfortunate aspect. It gives them the confidence. You know, it gives them a wrong confidence. The man comes to kneel down to pray. He says, because I have done all of these things and I have promised God this, then my prayer will be answered. Listen to me, the prayer will not be answered. I have been deputized by God to let you know that that prayer will not be answered. Because it's a prayer of insult. It's a prayer of insult to the blood of Jesus. You are insulting the name of Jesus that died for you and rose again on your behalf. You are not allowed to do it. You must consciously repent. And I want to emphasize that again, because today I want us to pray, all right? Based on this thing that I have just explained to us. And where we are going to start from is that point. We must learn to approach the throne of grace. You know, we must learn to approach the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We must learn to approach boldly. How do we approach boldly? We come by the precious blood of Jesus. How do we approach boldly? We come because of his name, that is, using his name. We use his name to open the door to the presence of the Father. We approach him because he died for us. Anyway, you know, I used to be a sinner. Everybody was a sinner. You understand my point? Everybody. Even the one that I think he never did anything wrong. The sin of rebellion. The Bible says like that of witchcraft. Yes, so everybody was a sinner. Forget all of that thing. The important thing is that we come in the power of the blood of Jesus. And that, all right, that gives us the boldness to approach him. Because we're not approaching him based on what we have done. We're approaching him based on what he did. We can't say this thing enough. Why do we keep on saying it? Simply because the opposite is what people hear every time. You say, okay, you know, it's just something that's inside you. You do all these good works and you actually think that God will be persuaded that you know that my boy is just a good boy. I understand that's very funny. Better come, go and commit one or two sins so that you'll be feeling very useless. Are you getting my point? Then when you come to pray this time around, you'll be head faster. Just go to the roads. Just start a fight. You understand my logic there? You don't want to fight. but you get my point. You need to throw away this self-confidence. Now, I don't mean that you should really go and become a sinner. I'm just trying to say that stop thinking that you are good and God will answer you. You are not better than the worst sinner that you have met if that fellow repents and comes with the confidence that I'm describing here based upon what Jesus has done. I hope you are getting my point. That is the primary thing, you know, as believers. I didn't want to talk for this long, but I've said everything I want to say as our introduction to what I want us to do today. Can we rise to our feet now? All right, let us pray. I want us to begin to, first of all, let's just give the Lord thanks before I begin to lead us. I want us to just pray today. We'll declare the word of God. That's actually what I want us to do. Just that when I start talking, I end up talking for long. Just thank God for the things I said last, that the fact that you are accepted in the Lord Jesus. Thank God for the ability and the privilege to pray. I want us to begin to declare, say in the name of Jesus. Say it again, say in the name of Jesus. I approach unto the throne of grace.
I obtain mercy.
I find grace to help. In the time of my need. I want you to think clearly about these things, all right? And then declare it from the bottom of your heart. Say, I approach boldly. Say it again. I approach boldly.
I find mercy.
And grace to help.
In the time of my need.
Now, declare this. I have not come based on my own works. I want to say it. I have not come based on my own works.
Not
because of anything I have done in righteousness.
But
because of the power of the blood of Jesus. Say,
Father,
I approach you
based
on the power of the blood of Jesus. Say,
I have been washed.
Say it, I have been washed.
I am clean.
My prayers are heard
because
I have been made righteous. Say it again.
My prayers are heard
because I've been made righteous. Say, thank you, Father.
You
forgive me of my sins.
Say it again.
Thank you, Father.
You
forgive me of my sins.
You
washed away my sins.
You
made me a child of yours.
Your
promises, they
are now mine.
Say, all your promises
in Christ Jesus,
they are now mine.
The promise of health
is mine
in Christ Jesus.
The promise of success
is mine
in Christ Jesus.
Say,
the promise of prosperity
is mine
in Christ Jesus.
Say,
this is the grace of the Lord Jesus.
He was rich.
For my sake,
he became poor,
that I,
through his poverty,
might be made rich.
I am not held down by any curse.
Oh, let's say it again. Say,
no ancestral curse
is working in my life.
Only ancestral blessings.
Because I have Abraham as my father.
By my faith,
I connect with his blessings.
Not by my works.
I am not pleading my works.
Not because I gave.
Not because I walked righteously.
But because Jesus paid.
Every blessing.
Every good thing
that God promised through Abraham,
every good thing
that the prophets prophesied,
they are now mine
by faith
because Jesus died for me.
Say, I am not a slave anymore.
Say it, I am not a slave anymore.
I don't go to places for prosperity.
Places prosper because of me.
I am a carrier of divine blessing.
Not because of my own works.
Not because of my tithes.
Not because of my offerings.
But because of the promises I have.
Promises that are made mine by Christ Jesus.
Say, Father, I approach unto you
boldly,
with confidence,
because I have been made righteous
in Christ Jesus.
Say, every ancestral curse,
every ancestral disease,
every ancestral problem
is broken in Christ Jesus.
Say it again. Every ancestral curse
is broken in Christ Jesus.
Say, I understand
that my life
is hid
with Christ
in God.
My life
is hid
with Christ
in God.
Greater is he that is in me
than he that is in the world.
There is no magic that works against me
because I am in Christ.
There is no curse that works against me because I am in Christ.
Say every failure
may be a temptation, but I am not a failure. Now, I've said it before, there are reasons why Christians have problems. One, ignorance. When they don't know these things, somebody will be telling them that a witch is harassing them. Every prophet that says that a witch is disturbing you, tell him that he doesn't know what he's saying. That if he was the real prophet, he should be able to stop that witch from disturbing himself and you. I hope you're getting my point.
Yes,
say it again. Say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
No witch can harass me.
No witch can harass
me. No ancestral curse.
No ancestral curse.
Let me just say something to you again as a child of God. Sometimes you see troubles around you. These are the things you see. It is not as if you see a challenge. It's proof. Are you getting my point? Okay, see, Pastor, now, see, the other day, you know, my brother fell sick like this at the age of 28. By 32, he was dead. At the age of 27, my cousin became sick like that. At the age of 32, he was dead. Right now, last week, I've been feeling like that. And guess what? I'll be 28 next week. So I now ask you, what does it mean? He said it means there are ancestral curses. Let me tell you, that's ancestral suggestion. Did you hear what I said? It's an ancestral what?
Suggestion.
It's a suggestion. You add that, you decide whether you want it or you don't want it. That's the meaning of thy will be done. So when you see that kind of thing, let me tell you what you do. You first laugh. Please go and read my book, By Faith Acquire Life. That's what they call echoes of accusations. When you are being accused, there is time to what? Respond. Let me tell you, this is not the time to say, God, you know, I've been a good boy. Why should a good thing happen? Why should a bad thing happen to a good boy? That's nonsense talk. What did I call it?
Nonsense.
You have a gun in your hand, a submachine gun that can fire fast. One man is cocking a gun, trying to shoot you. Say, Lord, why is he aiming at me? I've never done him anything. No? Better cock your own, give him 2 rounds and discuss that one later. Are you getting my point? When you've shot the man, say, but why were you trying to shoot me? You get my point? That's a better way to handle it. Not a God. I don't know what I did this man. I just sat in my house. He's now cocking a gun at me. Meanwhile, you're a trained soldier. Gun there your hand. I just don't like trouble, oh boy. Wait, we'll discuss whether I like trouble or not. I'll first release 2 shots, you understand? Like one man said in one film I watched long ago. He said, if anybody comes around here, fire 2 warning shots into his chest. You fire 2 warning shots into the guy's chest. You now find out what are you looking for. That is what we do as Christians when we behave like that. No, that's not how you respond. You will say simply, the will of God will be done in my life. That this sickness that is trying to start, let me explain something to you, I will not accept. You killed my brother, you will not kill me. You killed my cousin, that's not my name. That is called my cousin, not me. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Say that I have been redeemed in Christ. This thing, you will not stay here. I refuse you. You wake up next morning, still there. You keep on firing. One day you wake up, it's gone. The problem people say that, you see? Pastor Frank said there's no ancestral curse. Look at this one now. I am saying ancestral curses have no business with you. And if they raise their head, remind them, say, before you vex, everybody move. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
That is how Christians behave. I hope you are getting my point.
Yes, sir.
That's why you're called a soldier. That's why you're called a soldier. You like fight? Let's bring it to you. That's what soldiers do. All those things you hear are what? Ancestral suggestions. See? You know, when you start making your father's experience a reference, that's what the problem is. So my father did do. I heard my mother told me that, my father lost his job six years after they married. Since that time, he was never balanced. And you remember, too true, all the time your mother had to struggle to keep things together. So you married 5 years ago. Now your business is not doing well. And I sit down and say, well, the same problem your father had. You believe in Pastor Banky? Just watch it. You now go to the prophets that will not take the little money that you have. God forbid. Listen, those are ancestral what? Suggestions. I told the story of one brother. He told me himself, I've told the story here many times. He had this feeling himself for a long time that I was not going to live beyond the age of 30-something, his early 30s. And then he gave his life to Christ. He said, there's a feeling of somebody following him around. That thing stopped. Let me tell you something. A few days before that birthday, somebody actually shot him. Except that because he had believed, an angel went and just put a hand there, blocked the bullet. The physical manifestation we saw was that something inside the car, all right, he just raised it about a minute before that. The bullet hit that thing and dropped. The man who was observing, I guess it was the Lord that allowed him to see what was supposed to happen. He actually saw the man die. And he ran to the police and said, they just killed that man. Now, that was what the devil planned. What we now saw was the redemption that he had in Christ Jesus. Remember the story of Mordecai and Haman? Remember Haman's story? Remember that the Jews were supposed to die that day. And the king had written the decree. When the king wrote another decree that they would not die, did they sit at home and say, okay, the king said we will not die, we'll just sit down here. They armed themselves. Some people actually came to kill them. But then they overpowered their enemies. And that's what we're talking about. In Christ Jesus, you have the power to overcome these spiritual problems. So that when they come and suggest, no, it is not proof that you're under the power. It is proof that that thing was there, but you have been delivered. But the thing wants to now see whether you understand it. I hope you get my point. That is why you rise up and vex. You are not trying to be nice. So now, original what? Vex. You get angry. And say to it, in the name of Jesus, the will of God is done in my life. That's what prayer is about. Let me say it again. Please, don't do anything that will give you self-confidence. I hope you're getting my point. Some people here need to miss tithe payment for like 2 months just to be sure that they are now spiritually criminals. Then they can now approach in the power of the name of Jesus. After that, if you now want to use your goodwill to be giving 90% of your income to anybody, then you'll be doing it with what? Joy and gladness. The one that you still think is your passport for prosperity is why you have not prospered. You say, but this man testified, that man is not the Bible. And there is a time that God just overlooks some things. But the time comes that you should understand now. How long will I be bearing with this, your ignorance? When you want to pray, let me say it again. Let me say it again. Never mistakenly, by chance, peradventure, maybe possibly in your imagination while you were dreaming and sleeping and getting drunk and falling asleep in the dream, don't even dream about referring to your good works as proof to God that you deserve anything. If that thing comes to your mind, confess and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Do you know, because I helped Chinedu last week, I've been feeling righteous when I want to pray. I confess that sin. My boldness is founded only upon the word of God, only upon the sacrifice of Jesus. I only come in the power of that name. Dear Lord, any other thing, I am sorry. Listen to what I preached last Tuesday. I said, good works is what we do while our transaction is what? Process. It is not what we use to claim anything. These are the things that show that we really believe. I told you my story before. When I was getting married, I had a lot of needs also financially. If you gave me 10 kobo, I put towards the wedding. Everything. One day I was sharing the word with the wife and was about to marry. Paul said to Timothy, instruct those who are rich in this world not to trust in the uncertainty of riches, but that they should trust in God, gives them everything richly to enjoy. And I said, what is the sign of their trust? Let them be generous. I said, wait. So the fact that I'm carrying all my money to solve my problem is a sign that I'm not allowing God to solve it. Instantly, I said, okay, I understand. I took money I thought I needed. I started giving it out. I wasn't trying to merit something. Are you getting my point? I wanted to say, hey, this money, I will succeed without you. That's what I was saying. That's what good works about. When we come to God, we come only in the power of the blood of Jesus. I hope you get my point. And on that, let me say something to you. If you come in the power of your own works, that is when all these ancestral evil spirits start saying, you know, his grandfather was a thief. Nothing now, Ogbanje. And somebody said that if your grandfather was a slave trader, your family will break. Please tell your neighbor, who cares? Tell somebody, who cares what my grandfather was? I am in Christ, say it.
I am in Christ.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Now that creation, let me tell you something. It means that God started doing something new. Started a new process. Listen, but that we partake of when we refuse to take ourselves from under the cover of the third heavens. When we refuse to take ourselves away from under the cover of the sacrifice of Jesus. When we dwell consciously under in that realm called Christ. In that realm, the only thing that counts is what Jesus did for us. Let's declare it again. Say, in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I come boldly to the throne of grace.
I come boldly to the throne of grace.
Say, I am bold.
I am bold.
Because Jesus made it so.
He washed me clean.
So Satan has no part in me. Say, those ancestral curses,
they have no part in me.
Because Jesus washed me clean. I want us to begin to declare. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Now, I want us to declare the word. You know, remember, thus will Babylon go down and not rise again. Are you getting my point? We declare the word of God. What we want to do is declare the promise of God concerning prosperity. I just feel like handing that one this evening. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
He makes all grace abound towards me.
He makes all grace abound towards
me. I have all sufficiency in all things.
I have all sufficiency in all
things. And I abound to every good work.
I abound to every good work.
He makes prosperity flows toward me like a river.
He makes prosperity flows towards me like a river.
And the wealth of the nations.
And the wealth of the nations.
Like an overflowing stream.
Like an overflowing
Say,
stream.
The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
Therefore, I shall not want. Say it again. The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
Therefore,
I shall not
want. No matter how tight things are outside,
I shall not want.
Because I seek the Lord.
Because
Jesus died for me.
Because
the promises of God, they are mine.
No matter how difficult things are outside,
I will not lack. Say it again. God will make all grace abound towards me. I will have all sufficiency in all things.
I will create jobs to employ other people.
I am a blessing that God sent to the earth.
I don't go around looking for blessings
because I am a giver.
I am like my father.
Let me say something to you. It is only when you have believed these words that they begin to work in your life. You are a giver before you have money. I hope you get my point. Anybody telling that, like I said last Tuesday, anybody telling that, oh, when I have money, I will start giving. Just start laughing. The fellow say, what is funny? You know, I told them I'm recruiting teachers. Tell the fellow, this is what is funny. You will never give. He said, why? Because you will never have. Are you cursing me? Not me. You just curse yourself. He said, when I have. I will start, which means right now I am not an overcomer. Right now I am not a giver. Right now I cannot walk in righteousness. The fellow said, what do you mean? Say, sit down. Take this tract, read it. Or bring out your Bible if you have been looking for who to preach. You don't have to start the church. That is your church. We had some brothers in school those days when we were in university. I remember one in my mind like this. Once he grabs that tiny, you know that Gideon's Bible? Gideon's Bible. New Testament, not the complete one. That tiny blue one. The ones some people used to call the blade of the spirit. You know, there's the sword of the spirit. Some people now carry the new one to church. They say, that's the blade of the spirit. If that guy catches the blade of the spirit, you will think he collected the biggest sword of the spirit. He will catch you there. Once he came to, I think I was in that room. Yes, yes, it was our room. He started a message with one person. Finished with the third person. Okay, let me see what I mean. Brother A was sitting there when he began to share. He shared and shared and shared. Brother B joined. He thought and thought and thought. Brother A left, leaving B to finish the message. While he was talking, Brother C came, joined them. He kept on explaining the scriptures and teaching the word. Brother B left. That brother, it has happened before that he was preaching. The person said that he was sharing the word with, said, please, I want to go somewhere. He said, no problem. He laid on that guy's bed and slept. When that one came back, he said, hey, like I was saying. I have some dangerous people around me. All this I'm preaching to, they know me today. I learned it from somewhere. I have some people that are, if you think I can talk, you never see anything. Those are the kind of spirit I want you to, you know, to imbibe. You need to help people. I hope you're getting my point. All I'm trying to emphasize, listen to this. We are the warriors of the spirit. Are you getting my point? And this is how we war. It's when, first of all, we have understood these things. We're not begging God to make us into something that we are not yet. We are trying to say, we understand. This is your will. So this is our job. We now say to that will, be done on the earth. Somebody here, you will prosper so much, you will pinch yourself to wonder whether not the same person.
Amen.
If God had mistakenly changed your skin to white, you will be sure it's not you. But because you still look in the mirror, you can still recognize. That's the only way you will know that it's the same person.
Amen.
And how do you do that? It's not by trying to be smart. Let me tell you something I said before. What God gives you is what? Opportunities. God opens doors. Let me quickly teach you that one for a minute, then we'll complete declaring the word. What the Lord does for you is to open doors. He doesn't want you to have any brilliant ideas. Let me say it like that. Don't worry. He will create the idea. You will discover the idea. Then you will work in it. It's doors God will open for you. You will go to work one day. While you are there, somebody will say, hey, they want somebody to do this thing. No? Where? The person may have to leave Enugu and go down to maybe Lokoja or Tupo or, you know, somewhere. Say, what is it? This one, I can do it now. You start saying, in my church, I was the one that did it for them last year. Check, you start talking. So the man just said, oh, hey, you can do this. What will it cost? How much will you charge us to do it? Say, no problem. You discuss some things, you've gone. You take leave from your office, so please, I need 1 month to go and finish this. You are not coming back. That's what God does. You may be sitting down with one of your friends and say, let's do this now. You look at that, this is a brilliant idea. Sometimes, it's something you dreamt of about 2 weeks before that. God allows that dream so it will show you that, yes, follow him, don't be afraid. But otherwise, there will have been no reason to accept. That's when God starts giving us, you know, interesting revelations. What the Lord will do is to open doors for you. I hope you get my point.
Yes,
now, how do you get ready for that? I've said before, number one, first be faithful, occupy with what this until he comes. Tell your neighbor, be occupied.
Be occupied.
And every day, don't settle down and be discussing things that kill faith. Explanation of how GDP has gone down or is going up or is fragmenting. None of your business. The fact that you are broke does not mean anything. No. You must never accept that as proof that you have a problem. If you are not broke now, when do you intend to be broke? You must be broke at one point in your life. The Bible says, and her, while is yet a child, differs nothing from his slave. A prosperous man, when is yet in that infantile period, differs nothing from a broke man. If you are broke, it's a good sign. I hope you're getting my point. That must never change your mouth. It must never change what you believe. This is how Christians pray. Sarai was supposed to take the book and say, thou Lord, this is what you have promised concerning this place. Read the words over the place and then say, thus will Babylon go down. And it will not rise again. In the same manner you look at your life, what has it said concerning me? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The things we have said today, take that my favorite, 66 verse 12, Isaiah. He causes prosperity to flow towards me like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. You read that thing like that, you now say, thou Lord, this is what you have promised me in Christ Jesus. So I say, doors with which you prosper and never come down again. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
Assuming your name is Uche. Yeah, say your own. Say your own. Say it one more time. Maybe you should get a balloon that's filled with helium and release it when you're saying it. Look for something that will fly away. Are you getting my point? Because this is what prayer is. Listen, do that every day. When I say every day, I mean, okay, maybe not every literal day, but in a week, do it like 4 or 5 times. Minimum. When you get here, go home, locate a few scriptures, combine them together. That's what prayer does not. You don't have to be spontaneous every time. Come cook up some things. Find a few scriptures, like the one we have been quoting again and again and again. Arrange them, print them out, paste them on the wall so you can see it from when you just wake up. Read a few of them. Don't ever forget to start with that 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Talking about the grace of the Lord Jesus. Because that one is very important. It lets you know that no matter how poor your father is, it makes no difference to your life. And there have been, look, in this our country, we have seen people were hawking oranges who became founding MDs of one of Nigeria's biggest banks. What are we talking about? What have we not seen before? And the one that God wants to do, you have not seen it before. At least be able to believe the one you have seen before. I hope you're getting my point. What are you supposed to do? Listen, it's not about scheming. It's about, number one, have something you are busy doing every day, because a believer must be busy. You are occupied until he comes. They are not idle until he comes. They are occupied until he comes. They are not hanging around doing nothing until he comes. Jesus said, occupy with this until I come. Do business with this. There's something they are doing. They may be working for civil service. They go there on time. Their desk is the cleanest because work doesn't pile there. They are known for being reliable. They are known for being honest. He said, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. It's a cultivation. Something that you cultivate keeps on growing and keeps getting bigger. In the same manner, his faithfulness, her faithfulness keeps on increasing, keeps on getting bigger every day. They are cultivating it. That's what they do outwardly. Hebrews chapter 6, we read that last time. Hebrews chapter 6, he said, God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love that you have shown towards his name. In that you are ministering, let me put it like this, you are working hard for civil service and you are still working hard there. Meanwhile, you are inheriting based on what? Faith and patience. What is faith? Every morning I take those words and I declare them. Say, in the name of Jesus, I am a blessing. In the name of Jesus, good is flowing through me onto this earth. I have been called to show forth his excellency. In the name of Jesus, prosperity flows towards me like a river and the wealth of the nation like an overflowing stream. I go back to the same job. That is still planning to pay me the same salary. You are getting my point?
Yes, sir.
What will God do? He said, be occupied until I come. Not until you come and look for me. I hope you are getting my point.
Yes,
you are occupied until he comes. Not until you go and look for him. Let's declare it again. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I am above alone.
I am above alone.
I am not beneath.
In the name of Jesus,
poverty has been broken. Say it again. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
When we say in the name of Jesus, we mean that it's not because I'm well educated. It's not because I'm well connected. It's not because of what I have done. It is because of what Jesus has done.
Amen.
He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Let me quickly explain what that means before we say it again. When it says live, to live means to acquire life. Doesn't mean that man shall not be walking about, you know, by bread alone. No, what it means is that the basis of his survival is not just bread. Bread refers to the material things that you can see. A man is successful, you can see, has a very good degree. He got a first degree, a first class from UNN, then went over to Harvard and got an Harvard MBA. When, by the time he relocated back to Nigeria, HSBC employed him and they are paying him, you know, $500,000 a year in salary. So you can see, that's what the Bible calls bread. What did I call it?
Bread.
You know, his father has been, you know, he's a second generation billionaire. His grandfather was a very rich man, a big transporter and industrialist in Nigeria. His father carried bigger. So this young man, by the time he was 21, they set him up in business. He's a manager of his father's biggest factory. You know, long story. And right now we hear that his father wheeled that one off to him. So that boy, he's only 32, but he's a billionaire. How did he become a billionaire? Look at the generational wealth. Somebody say bread.
Bread.
Say it again, bread.
Bread.
The Lord now said, man shall not live by bread alone. That there will be many people that will do more than those people you have mentioned that did not have their own bread. Listen, people interpret that, look, you need bread and something else. No, that was not what Jesus said. When they said Jesus eat, Jesus said it's not necessary. That it's possible to achieve this life without having that bread. So, okay, if you don't have the bread, how do you get it? He said, by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Say it again. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Poverty has been broken.
Poverty has been broken.
Say it again. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Joblessness has been broken.
Joblessness has been broken.
Say, that spirit of poverty,
that spirit of poverty
has been conquered.
Has been conquered.
The blood of Jesus,
the blood of Jesus
has removed its hold. Because everything that Satan wants to do, he needs a place to hold. He needs a place to hold. Without a place to hold, he can't stay there. What the blood of Jesus does is to wash away every hold. Are you getting my point? Say it again. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Every hold.
Every attachment
that the demon of poverty was using.
In my life.
In my family.
In my life especially.
It has been washed away
by
the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
See,
let me just say something quickly to you. Paul said to the Galatians, he said, if you take circumcision, Christ will be of no value to you. I want to warn all of you that prophets will be disturbing you. You cannot sow a seed to break the back of poverty. Because when you do that, you are saying that poverty is still strong. I have told you, if you want to give, give. And I think you should give. Hear what I've been saying. A Christian is what? A giver. We don't break the back of poverty with money. Many of us, that's why we've been tying ourselves down every week. You go to church, a pastor that's looking for money wrecks your destiny. Because it stimulates you to disobey God, to disbelieve him. He tells you the reason why you have not prospered is that your tithe has not been complete. It's a lie. I make bold to say it. It is not true. All of these things, we do good works because we just realize that we are blessed people. Any good work you do, thinking that by that you make God do something for you, is the reason why you are broke, is the reason why you are not going to improve. Better get your acts together. That's it, looking at your own works as the reason why God will bless you. Nonsense. That time has passed, though. Right now, what God is doing is to destroy people. When they continue like that, they say, okay, let's see, now start. If you give one another, I take two from you. I will make an unbeliever prosper more than you while you are sowing your seed. You say, God, what do I do? Say, just believe. Salvation is still by faith. It is still by faith. You saw we're preaching on Saturday here. That when people brought stuff in Exodus chapter 35 into 36, the people walking said, these materials are disturbing us. Moses had to announce, please stop. Those are the kind of Christians I am raising with the word of God. People who one day, listen, this is going to happen. One day I will say, I think we need $1 million to finish this work. I just say, call Jonathan, call Udechukwu, tell them to come bring the money by next week. We can't wait for next week maximum. And they won't get thank you. Those are the kind of Christians that I am raising with the word of God. And for them, it's not a big deal. It can be the last $500,000 they have each. They won't think anything of it. Just take, give pastor, say we'll travel. When we come back, we'll see him. Bring more. Not promising you anything. What do I want to promise that God has not promised you in Christ Jesus? Are you getting my point? Listen, for those who don't know, that is my doctrine, which is straight from the scriptures. Everyone who really trusts in God loves what I say. So not those who trust in human machinations. Many Christians this day, that is the problem. God says, until you get this point, you won't go further. Go and read the book of Job. You will see why Job suffered. He was a very righteous man. Even God testified, nobody like him in the whole earth. But the earth will not prosper if Job is the best they have. So what do we do? Let him understand that righteousness, true righteousness, is not by his works. When the man saw God, a man who had never sinned, repented in dust and in ashes. When he saw God. Listen, what am I teaching you? Please, your boldness, your confidence is in Christ Jesus. When you do good works from now, don't think about it. Just do it and thank God you have the privilege. So me too, I've been counted worthy of doing good things in life. There was a time you were the only one on the receiving end. Your uncle gave to you, your brother gave to you, your mother gave to you, your church gave to you. strangers gave to you? No wonder you wake up and say, I'm tired. So the first day you give out $1,000, I say, good. I have left this side. I am now on this side. And you start walking every day. Go and read the scriptures. Paul said, those who do not have work, who are going around causing trouble, let them go and work so that they will have money to give to other people. Paul never thought that their work is supposed to be what they will use for themselves. He said, no, the aim of work in life is to be able to help. So we get up and say, no, I'm a giver. I'm not a beggar. I'm not just a ticker. Everybody give to me. Am I the only one? Wake up in the morning, become me. That is the kind of Christian that God wants you and I to be. But when we are being blessed, it's not because of what we have done. It's because of what he has done in Christ Jesus. Let's declare again, say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Because of him.
Because of him.
I'm talking about Christ Jesus. And I say because of him.
Because of him.
Because of his sacrifice.
Because of his sacrifice.
Because of my faith in that sacrifice.
Because of my faith in that sacrifice.
The Father is making all grace abound towards me.
He is causing prosperity to flow towards me.
Say grace.
Grace.
Prosperity.
Prosperity.
They are flowing towards me like a river.
Wealth of all kinds.
They are coming to me.
Like an overflowing stream.
Say poverty has been broken.
By the power of the blood of Jesus.
I don't care what I can see now.
But I'm not poor anymore.
Say in the name of Jesus. I don't care what I can see now.
I
am not sick anymore.
Sickness has been removed from me.
From the top of my head.
To the soles of my feet.
To the extremes of my fingers.
In the name of Jesus.
I receive strength.
From my head.
In my brain.
Down to the bones of my feet.
Down to the skin at the tip of my fingers.
Because Jesus died,
say every virus,
I cast you out now.
In the name of Jesus.
This is the will of God.
That I prosper
and be in health.
Even as my soul prospers.
Say my soul
is filled with the knowledge of God.
And that knowledge says,
I am well.
That knowledge says,
I am prosperous.
That knowledge says,
I walk in righteousness.
That knowledge says,
I am a blessing.
Oh, say, Father, I thank you.
These promises of yours,
they have been done in my life.
Thy will
be done.
Now, you understand what that means now?
Let's say it again. Say,
thy will
be done.
Say, my Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done.
In my life.
As it is recorded.
In the word of God.
Thy will be done.
Say, will of God.
Be done.
In my health.
Be done.
In my finances.
Be done.
In my life.
Be done.
Brilliant ideas.
That helps me see open doors.
That God Himself has created.
Come to me.
In the name of Jesus.
Let me say something.
I said something last time. Let me say it again.
Nobody succeeds or prospers in life by himself.
What God does is to send help.
Say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
This is the will of God.
He sends help from above.
So help.
Come to me.
One sister asked me today, she said, I gave her some material some time ago.
He said, my brother, how did you get these things?
He calls me her senior brother.
Materials, word of God.
I said, they come to me.
That the word of God looks for me and they come.
I said, for years, that's been my testimony.
One brother asked me this many years ago. He said,
how do you get these things?
I said, because I want them, they come.
When I got the complete collection of Kenneth Hagin, one brother just walked up here, one of our brothers said, Pastor, I brought you a gift.
Where is it?
Total number of hours cannot be less than 1,000.
So I came to dash you.
I said, shall be well with you.
one brother sent a message, was the one that introduced us to David Paulson. That's why people been giving me things, the word of God. Are you getting my point? My own job now is to listen to them. Now, do you get my point? You can't, when I told you before, you say, Pastor Banky preaches, I didn't let the brethren that taught me in quotes to preach. I was like a small boy amongst them those days. Now, wow. How these guys, they talk like this? I'm telling you, that's where this thing began from. Nobody makes this thing by himself. Nobody. Go and ask Dangote. Go and ask him. He will tell you the stories. All this one, richest man in the world, richest man in the world, richest man in the world. Richest man in the world only became an idea just a few years ago. It was when Charles Ludo was CBN governor that was coming with consolidated shares, you know, shares was being sold in Nigeria, giddy, everybody rushing to the share market. And then Dangote said, somebody tell him, come, launch this thing. That was the beginning of richest man in the world, richest man in Africa. That's where it began from. Nobody. Go and read How to Be Rich by Paul Getty. There was a time people conspired to drown him in his own oil. There was a time. People conspired to drown him in his own oil. They refused. Look, it was, I think, the MD of Shell, or one of these big oil companies, that delivered him. They just said simply, once they said buy the oil, they broke the cartel's back that wanted to choke the man. He didn't make himself the richest man in the world. Other people helped him. So David said, send us up from above, for vain is the help of man. That is why we put our hope in man. What am I trying to say? Listen to me. He said, I call a bird of prey from the east, and a man of my purpose from a distant country. Now hear the word of God. Help is coming to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let me say it again. Help is coming to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Some people are looking for money to start business. There are people who are looking for what to do with money. When you are ready, listen to me. Many people, they are not ready. If you give them $1 million, they become a millionaire broke. Right now, they don't have any money. They're only owing 5,000. We thank God for that. When you go and give them 10 million, now they are now owing 9 million. That is why God has not brought you the help. That's why I say, occupy with this. Take that 5,000 and make sure it becomes 10. Make sure it becomes 20. Keep on walking till God sees that you can handle money. Then this is the word of God. I will cause the man of my purpose to come to you from a distant country.
Amen.
From a place you did not know existed.
Amen.
Say amen like you want it though.
Amen.
Now listen to another one. Even before you realize you needed help, it will come.
Amen.
People will come to help you. Say, right now, I don't think I need this. They will go away. 2 days later, the need will come. You will call them and say, come back. What were you saying yesterday? That will be your testimony in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Many people who are being paid heavily in this whole life, they are not working harder than you are working right now. That's just the way life is. So it is not about struggling. Are you getting my point? It's about God locating you. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying to you again. God will cause his grace to flow towards you.
Amen.
He will cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river.
Amen.
And the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream.
Amen.
God will lift you up in your own season.
Amen.
The chariots will soon come to your own prison.
Amen.
Hey, I like that. It rhymes, Abby. God will lift you in your own season. Your chariots will come in their own season. Abby, how did I say it again? The chariots will soon come to your own prison. Write it down. That's a good song. I didn't plan it though. It just came out like that. It was a good song. But let's say it again because it is true. I said, God will lift you up in your own season.
Amen.
The chariots of Pharaoh will soon come to your own prison.
Amen.
We'll take that from the story of Joseph. There was a day Joseph was in the prison. Then the chariots arrived and said, look, there's one boy here. A guy is looking for him. He was still wondering what he did wrong. But that was the beginning of the reason why God gave him life. Listen, we are not worldly people. I don't expect you to now show up wearing gold all over your head and your brain. Expect to be treated specially. So there's no pride. Are you getting my point? We are not doing this thing. We are just saying that God will take us away from where the devil thought he could keep us. But by the power of the blood of Jesus, we have been redeemed from that place. And it's taking us to a place where he can use us. To a place where he can use us.
Amen.
to affect this world,
Amen.
To affect this earth,
Amen.
To affect this nation.
Amen.
Let's begin to give him thanks. Say, Father, I thank you. Remember, it's not by my power. Just thank him, Lord, it's not by my power. What have I said to you today? Make sure you have your field, you are diligent in it, you are working faithfully. Every day declare these words. 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 Every day you will declare that I have prospered in the name of Jesus. Today my mind is just on getting people to prosper. Getting them to get out of this poverty mentality. Many pastors have not taught us the truth. We thought it's our own labor, our own seed. No. These are things we do because we know we are blessed people. We are not trying to. No. That's not the idea. Say, Lord, thank you. Say, Lord, thank you. Say, in the name of Jesus, I walk into my own open doors. I see my open doors. I begin to declare it. Say, in the name of Jesus, I see my doors. I see my opportunities. I walk into them. I walk into them. I receive my own doors. I will see my opportunities, and I walk into them. I walk in them into them with righteousness. I walk into them with righteousness. I walk into them with righteousness. The doors of God, they are righteous doors. The doors of God, they are righteous doors. He said, open to me the gates of God. The righteous will go by them. I walk in righteousness through my door. I walk in righteousness through my door. I walk in righteousness through my door. Say, Father, I give you thanks. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. Let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessings. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time.